086 60 25,000. We're into the last hour of this morning's 9 till noon show. And hey, don't go anywhere. We don't put all the good stuff first and leave the bad stuff to last. It's quality from beginning to end. Hey, talk about quality. What about a €200 quality voucher for our friends at Breeden's House to Home, Bridge End and Mafilla? They're sponsoring the show this week. Great to have you on board. Thank you so very much for that. And they've been very generous with their prizes. €200 of a voucher each day this week. And we're having a bit of fun of it as well, because you have to think a little bit. Sometimes these can be a little bit, not my fan of them. Is grass green or is it blue? No, we're going to challenge you a little bit. We want you to sort out an anagram for us. The word is preact, P-R-E-A-C-T. But if you wanted to make another word out of that, what might it be? Rearrange those letters and you will come up with the answer of an item that is in many houses, comes in rolls, and also you can get it at Breeden's House to Home, Bridge End and Moville. So preact, rearrange those letters. What do you come up with? Text your answer, your name and address to 086 60 25,000 to be in with the chance to win this great prize. I'll announce that winner before the end of the show. Looking forward to that. Hey, thank you so much again, and I really mean this. Since we were on air, and thanks to your generosity and our one mention of the fundraiser for Cancer Care West, we're through 7,000, everyone. I'm so touched and moved by it. And that represents actually really quite a great portion of the total money raised this year through the Camino for Cancer Care West. So thank you very much indeed. If you want to keep that coming, please do. We'll wrap it all up very, very soon. And I promise I won't have the begging bowl out again for a while. But we do really appreciate your help. Hi, I'm writing this text. A dog is constantly barking in Ashlawn. It has to be tied up, barking morning to night. What can we do? RSPCA, I would certainly contact them and see what the crack is. Or maybe if it's in social housing, I don't know. Maybe the council might have a role to play in there. I don't know. But speaking of dogs, we were out
yesterday
and we were on a beach. Won't say where. Not a sinner on the beach, hardly at all. Probably been worn at the beach today. Wee Hudson was on his little car on the beach, and two dogs ran right up to him and started jumping up on him, which is grand, okay? Now, these dogs are tiny, but they're half the size of him, and he's all right with it. He's not a big fan of dogs, but he's not scared of them, not yet anyway. And everyone was laughing and joking. It was all great crack, and I did too. I never said anything because I'm a chicken, right? But I just still don't understand how people don't understand that their dogs might not just be the best thing for somebody else. It still happens even in the quiet months on our beaches. But anyway, people's habits change. Many opting for convenience of suburbs to avoid traffic and parking fees in town centres. Places like the dining hall in Donegal Town Service Station and Keys Lahey, always busy. I'm not quite sure what that's about, but anyway, it'll come to me. Now, we're getting close to the end of our gardening season, but we aren't there yet. Paul McLaughlin of Ballacdare Garden Centre is going to be joining us before the end of the show, taking your gardening questions. So if you've got a question about gardening or anything to do with potted plants, bedding plants, indoor plants, plants, I'm sure we'll get one about those weeds that come up through your tarmac. We welcome them, even if they come in from time to time. That's grand. Get in touch with us right now, 086 60 25,000, and we'll get Paul to answer any of your gardening questions. If you want to send them by voice note, by the way, it might be easier to send them by voice note and we can play them to Paul. Do that on WhatsApp. You just hold the little mic, 086 60 25,000, because sometimes it can be hard to articulate anything in text. And we love your voice notes. We're not big adopters of it up here, I'm not going to lie to you. But anyway, if you want a voice note, do. I was in Carndonagh yesterday at lunchtime when all the pupils from a school were attending outside the shopping centre, chatting and having the crack. But when they left, the amount of rubbish they left behind was awful, and there's plenty of bins for them to use. All right, OK, maybe it's time we all had a wee chat with our young uns, pack in the vaping and stop the dumping. Thanks for reading the comment, Greg. This is about vaping. We were talking to a listener earlier. Sorry, we got via email, and she was talking about her son went into first year, and he didn't want to go into the toilets. He found it quite intimidating because loads of older kids were in there. The bigger boys, you know, yourself, they were vaping, and they were trying to encourage younger ones to vape. This parent took it up with the principal at an open meeting and was told there was a toilet outside for the child to use. Can you believe it? Well, they've followed up with an email, and I appreciate it. Yes, it's still a problem in that school, Greg. It continued throughout the year, or his years, but he was better able to ignore it as he got older over the years he spent there. Although my son has now left school, or left that school, I have younger sons there now too, who often talk about this happening. So nothing really then, it seems, has changed. Hi, Greg. It is terrible to see small businesses under such pressure, particularly in the pub trade. The VAT rate and increased commercial rates are a factor, but a factor that's being omitted is the fact that hotel rooms up and down the country are taken up with asylum seekers who are not capable of spending rather than tourists who spend. Now, I accept what you're coming from, and I'm going to read the rest of your message, but we just spoke to a person who's in Dunfanaghy, which is an incredible tourism spot, and they're off the back of and still in the middle of an incredibly busy tourism season, and it's only that tourism season that keeps a lot of businesses going through the winter. And the pub we were talking of still faces all of the challenges, and it's not to do with asylum seekers. Now, I know the easiest thing in the world is to sort of say it's asylum seekers, and as I say, I'll read all of your comment. But if I'm in government and I'm sitting there going, hey, come here, they're letting us off with the high VAT rate, and they're letting us off with the commercial rates and the water rates, and they're letting us off with going after them with the old warehouse tax, and they're letting us off with not clamping down on electricity companies, charging them a fortune. Hey, and they're letting us off as well with Sky Sports and BT Sports and all the other sports channel absolutely taking the hand at them for the cost of it. They're blaming asylum seekers. You know what I mean? That's... If I was a legislator, I'd be delighted with your comments. But I respect your comment in its entirety, so I'll read it as such. It reads on, the asylum seeker occupancy causes an artificially increased room rate due to the fact that room rates increased based on availability of rooms. It's also reduced the number of tourists who can visit. This makes Ireland artificially expensive for tourists. Tourism has traditionally been one of Ireland's main industries. It's been the lifeblood of rural communities. I'm not anti-asylum seeker, by the way. Government policies are destroying the tourism trade and strangling the economies, rural communities. I don't know what the capacity rate, occupancy rate of hotels is at the moment. I do know anecdotally a lot of them have left, at least half of them, and are in other rental accommodation. I think a lot of the pressures that you talk of now are in the rental market, not the tourism market. But anyway, it's an interesting conversation. I know you're not anti-asylum seeker, by the way. You're just making an observation. You take a load of rooms out of availability, and the prices go up. So, and we might not feel that for another year or two. So I think you're not wrong in what you're saying, by the way. And I know you're not blaming asylum seekers as such. Greg, what other businesses in the country has a 66% profit margin? You know fine well that it's rare for an intoxicated person to be refused alcohol, perhaps, yeah. Is the profit rate 66% on alcohol? Wow, okay. Well, we'll double check that. A caller says, lifestyles are changing. Very few drinking and still driving anymore. More drinking at home from off licenses and big stores. Unfortunately, the drink driving statistics are going up. Just to be, they're not coming down. Drink and drug driving rates are increasing. But a caller says, or the caller goes on to say, sorry, fewer eating out with more pre-cooked, ready-to-eat meals and takeaway. Difficult times in hospitality for sure, but no one is going hungry or thirsty. Yep, we are. I think we perhaps had too many restaurants and too many pubs for a time in certain areas. And people are changing their socialising habits. So that is also going to be a factor. Hi, Greg. Was in Dunfanaghy over the weekend for the Jazz and Blues Festival. Was just like to say congratulations to everyone involved. What a wonderful festival, and all of the entertainment free. Always try and get to it, and please God be back next year. Well done, everyone. Well, the I always miss out on it because it seems to always happen either at the weekend or the weekend after that that I'd be over at the London Vintage Show. Not sure I'm going to do that next year. Probably will give it a break and let someone else have a crack at it. I don't know yet, but anyway, that would be my sense. And I miss out on Dunfanaghy. Would love to go and see that festival there. I've been asked to let you know that Diabetes UK is hosting a meeting this Wednesday at 8 p.m. in the Fir Trees Hotel in Strabane. The event's open to all, and those with diabetes are especially encouraged to attend. Everyone welcome. That's Diabetes UK hosting a public meeting, 8 p.m. in the Fir Trees Hotel Strabane tomorrow night. Right, last one just before a quick break. The traffic on the port roads backed up like rally weekend. What's causing this? I don't know. I'm sat in an empty studio talking to myself, it feels sometimes, in Letterkenny. I don't know. Do you know what's happening on the port road? Caroline, she's also sitting and talking to herself as well. We're not talking to ourselves, but you know, sometimes you don't realise that you're speaking to other people. I shopped around to try and get my son car insurance. The company quoted 1,100. When I went online, it was 700 euros. Sometimes it's best to get a quote and then do the rest online. Yeah, so use the quote as your bar, and then if you can go up or down. You can always go back to the 1,100, but your son's got 400 quid in his pocket, which is nice. Love to hear it. Love to hear people shopping around. I was chatting to people. I'm not doing anyone out of business because you can. All these companies have different rates, so you can... I was chatting to, at the weekend to people who... there was like four of us, and they were all paying like 35 quid for their monthly mobile phone bill, 25 quid, 45 quid. And I says, oh, well, you must be getting a handset off these companies. And none of them were. All of them were out of sort of the handset contract whatsoever. And I can't believe that people have the money when you can get the exact same service from the same service provider, or indeed from another provider that piggybacks on their masts for 15 quid. 5G, data, telephone calls, texts, 15 euro. Why would anyone be paying 25 and 35 or 45? All right, maybe if you're getting a handset, right? Maybe you got the latest iPhone or the latest Samsung, yes. But all of the people in this circle we were talking to, none of them had a handset out with this company and paying over the odds. And one of them had no signal at all, which was really quite amusing. But I just don't... There are a few of the companies that you can get them for 12.99, 15 euro. It's the exact same network as... that you might be on at the moment, the piggybacking. Save yourself a fortune. Get yourself a nice little phone online or in one of your local shops. It doesn't have to be the best in the world. You'd save the price of your car insurance in some cases. All right, anyway, that's it's not a rant. It's trying to help, isn't it? But shop around and please look at the discounts. The savings that you can make also on different mobile phone networks and broadband providers as well. Last year, here's another one actually, by the way, before I go. For a break, I was with Vodafone, my Vodafone broadband, and in my silliness, I think it was 30 quid a month, and then it went up to 50 quid a month or something, and I let it slide for a couple. Do you know how you say you're going to do something and then you let it slide? 50 50 50 50, I think it was about 4 months of paying an extra 20 quid, and the only thing I had to do was ring them and say, can I avail of the deals please, or I'm switching. And they put me back on the 30 quid a month or whatever it was. Absolutely crazy. I paid an extra 80 euro for nothing. And the reason I'm saying that is the contract's up again at the start of December. And I got an email yesterday saying, due to statutory requirements, we have to tell you that your deal ends on December 1st. And for me to re-avail of it and extend it, I just have to ring them up. But if I didn't, on December 1st, I'd automatically kick up to the 50-55 thing. So keep an eye on that one as well. That's the consumer advice for one day over. We welcome on to the programme now Dennis Drennan, president of the ICMSA. That's the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association. And it's off the back of a Agri Ireland or Agriland survey of 1,500 farmers, which sort of, I suppose, tested sentiment, political sentiment. Dennis, thanks so much for your time. Good morning to you. Dennis, are you there? Oh, no, Dennis is gone. Oh,
yes, good Dennis. Morning to you and all your listeners. Apologies.
Good morning. That's us even now. I accidentally didn't realise you were on the line. Dennis, come here. What stood out for you from this survey of these farmers?
Well, look, this is a non-political... we're a non-political organisation, so this is just a poll that we, ourselves in Agriland have done in conjunction with opinion polls. And look, at the major issue on every farm and every doorstep and every farmer that you speak to at the minute is a drop in income. Like, we've an average drop in income from 2022 to 2023 of an average of 49%, with some of the sectors up to, like, dairy sectors down 69% in that 1 year. And it's not looking any better for this year because, you know, costs have remained stubbornly high. Weather has been atrocious, even though I'm here from the Ratanisca and Leash here from the National Ploughing Association. And if Carlsberg done weather for ploughing championships, this is the weather.
Amazing,
you know,
isn't
but,
it?
It's absolutely amazing. Everybody's enjoying it. Like, but I mean, you know, on a serious level, at a farm level, finances are a huge problem. The drop in income is the biggest thing. And it's really deterring, I suppose, and the next generation from getting involved in farming because they just can't handle the volatility in farm income.
And of course, it's going to come down to decision time soon if people want to make change. And it seems, does it, that the incumbents, and particularly Fianna Fáil, their popularity is dropping amongst the farming community.
Well, as I said, now we're a non-political organisation, so we had no influence in the poll. The poll was done in conjunction with Agriland. Opinions carried it out on our behalf, and this is just what the people who took part in the poll on Agriland, this is what they came back with. Now, it seems to be a little out of kilter with other polls that are out there, but I suppose this is specifically a farmer poll. So, you know, the majority of people will be full-time farmers. Two-thirds are full-time farmers. The rest will be part-time farmers. And, you know, main age group, I suppose, between 30 and 50. So, you know, it's a snapshot of, you know, a certain section of the community out there, but a hugely important Indigenous industry that's out there that's worth $17 billion to the country.
Yeah, but it's a big amount of people to be polled, because a lot of these polls that are done can be over 200 or 300 or 400 people. This is 1,500 farmers. So you'd imagine, and it's from all sectors, regions and age profiles. So it's going to get a sense of what's going on out there. But I suppose if you feel change is what's needed, and maybe many farmers do, where do you seek that change? And it seems that maybe the political establishment, farmers don't feel that it is they. And in fact, they would favour maybe an independent party or a rural party. Is that the read you have of those figures? And I understand, Dennis, just to reiterate, your organisation is apolitical, but we are talking about a survey that you commissioned.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's just look at the survey maybe highlights that there's a need for some of the political established parties to wake up, and that you know, they can't take the farmer vote for granted. I mean, we have a $17 billion indigenous industry in the country, and the difference between that and any other industry is that there's a multiplier effect of about 2.5 of that $17 billion. So you're looking at over $40 billion. You know, spent in the rural economy because of agriculture. And I mean, if you go to many rural parts, I'm sure Donegal is the same as Kilkenny, is the same as Kerry, is the same as Wexford. You know, there isn't much else other than agriculture in a lot of these areas. We don't have the option of TikTok and Google and all these in rural Ireland. So $14 billion in rural Ireland is a huge number. And, you know, we need to protect that. Like, when you look at the drop in income, if the pharma sector or the tech center sector had a drop like that, there'd be a national crisis and we'd have emergency talks and all that. But the fact that our largest indigenous industry suffers that sort of a drop in income, and, you know, there's really no reaction, no ripples anywhere from it, is probably, you know, what's causing people maybe to consider where their vote is going to go.
No, 27% of those surveyed indicated an intention to vote Fine Gael. Now, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are in government together. Do you think the fact that Fianna Fáil is holding the agricultural portfolio, that is why they are faring less? Again, and this is not really a political question, it's just asking for your observations.
I suppose, look, Fine Gael maybe have a new party leader who seems to be, you know, bouncing around, and it looks like Duracell Bunny, he's so full of energy going around that I suppose any political party that gets a new leader, there's a bounce for a while until people really, I suppose, get an in-depth view of what their policy and their direction is going to be. So I suppose Fine Gael are maybe, you know, on the crest of a wave because of that. And, you know, that's natural. Any new leader, it's even like a soccer manager. The team kind of gets bounced for a little while until they settle down. So time will tell. But look, at the important poll is going to be when the election is called, whenever that is. And as I said, we don't really get involved in the politics. We're just kind of highlighting and maybe emphasising that, you know, the traditional parties that would have, you know, almost been guaranteed a farmer vote may no longer be guaranteed that vote, and may have to, you know, realise the importance of agriculture to rural Ireland. And, you know, we've one budget left of the term of this government, and there's a lot of promises that were made in the programme for government that maybe need to be delivered on.
Do farmers in this poll see Sinn Féin as a viable alternative?
It actually didn't feature in the poll at all, for whatever reason. As I said, now we had no control over the poll. It was a multiple choice question. Every party was listed, and it was a tick box operation, a multiple choice question as regards which party you felt represented you. And they, for whatever reason, they didn't really register on the poll.
There was questions about asylum seekers and refugees, collectively known as IPAS. That was included. What were the findings there? Or are you surprised at the findings?
Not particularly, I suppose. Like, as I said, now we've no issue with refugees coming into the country. You know, we were in that position ourselves, you know, not so long ago, and we immigrated to many countries around the world and were very successful there. I suppose the question that was asked was, should it be proportionate to the number of people living in your own villages? Like, we've seen villages in rural Ireland in the past number of months, like, you know, having a huge influx of refugees coming to that villages where it might double the population in the village. And the question we just asked, like, should the number of refugees accepted into any town or village be proportionate towards the number of people already living there and the services that can be provided to the local people or to the refugees that are coming in. And we want to make sure there's balance there, that everybody gets a fair crack, including the refugees that are coming in, that the services there to provide, you know, that the services are there in place to give a quality of life to these people. And almost two-thirds said that, it should be proportionate, which I think is a very reasonable and fair ask of people in rural Ireland.
Yeah, I'm doing a bit of adding and subtraction finally, but only one in four farmers currently know what's happening to their farm. In other words, like I'll break it down the other way. Just over half of farmers have not identified a successor, which is remarkable because we could go at any time. It doesn't really matter what age they are. And a quarter say they'd sell or lease their farm. So that really means only, 25% know with certainty that their farm is going to perhaps remain in the family and be passed down to someone.
Yeah, it's becoming a huge issue, and it's even more prevalent this year. Like, we have had a number of young farmer forums where our younger members are brought in and asked what are the main, decisions and policies that are affecting their decisions and their ability to farm. And income volatility is the number one. So, young people are looking at farming and seeing the results of the Chagas, farm income survey and seeing, well, how can I cope with my income dropping, 50, 60, 70% from one year to the next? And if I go to a bank and I want to get a mortgage to build a house, like every young person has to do at some stage, or buy a house, or I want to get, borrow a loan for a car or money for a car or whatever, well, the volatility is a huge issue. And that was one of the asks that we have had for the last 6 or 8 years of the government, that they would deliver on an income volatility tool to steady out the income. No other sector deals with the volatility like farmers do. So it's a huge issue. And I suppose what's even more worrying this year is that traditional farmers, that, the farmers in their family for maybe 4, 5, 6 generations, they're actively discouraging their children to stay on farm at the moment, because they see the raft of rules and regulations that are being brought in that farmers have to comply with, and it's not a complaint against those rules and regulations, but the goalposts keep moving. Mm. So it's very hard for a young person to enter a sector and, that maybe needs investment on their farm, and that investment could be out over 10, 15, 20 years investment and payback. And the goalposts keep moving as regards, am I going to be viable in a year's time, 2 years' time, 5 years, or 10 years' time?
All right, President.
So we need
the
stability within the sector.
Okay, President of the ICMSA, Dennis Drennan. Enjoy the ploughing. Don't forget sunblock.
Thank you very much.
Sunblock and drink plenty of water.
Absolutely, especially when he's in waders here.
And in bed by 9.
Absolutely.
All right, Dennis. God bless you. Thank you very much indeed. Dennis Drennan there, President of the ICMSA. Gardening questions on the way. Get them into us, 086 60 25,000. Why don't they do the same as in Northern Ireland? You cannot drive a vehicle on your own until you pass your test. That is the same here. You cannot drive a vehicle on your own here until you pass the test. But what people are doing, you see, and maybe it wasn't clear, what people are doing is you can't renew your... There comes a point where you can't renew your learner permit until you've sat a test. Sorry, that's the way it should be. Until you've booked a test. So what people are doing is to keep the learner permit going for whatever reason. I don't really know, and I'd love to... If you text us on the QT if you're one of these people that books tests and doesn't turn up to keep the learner permit, because I really don't know why you'd keep the learner permit, because just sit the bloody test and your insurance and everything else could come down. So there must be another reason, because so many people are not sitting the test. 6,500 last year. So let us know if you're one of those people. But the problem is, as you see, if you apply for your test and don't turn up, then you can actually go ahead and renew your learner permit, and you can keep that again until the next time. And that's what Susan Graham Park and others are saying. If you don't turn up for your test for any good reason, you shouldn't be allowed to renew your learner permit. And I get that. So it is the same. You can't do that here, unless I've read that wrong. Tell Greg that I used to have to ring Vodafone every year, but they changed that last year and have it set at a price. I was 40 euro, but they increased their price by 7 this year. They don't do it for me because, as I say, last year I ended up paying the higher rate, and this year I got an email saying that that's going to happen again. They're required to let you know, but they don't do it automatically. Once the contract ends, it ends. I'm going to take a break, Shannon. Relax. One of my family members got an email with a date for his test and didn't see it till after the date. Not everyone checks their emails. They just send out an app appointment in the post. Yeah, indeed. But that's not going to make up the 6,500. They should definitely have another backup system other than email. I accidentally had important emails gone to a spam folder. I must have accidentally marked them as spam, so that could happen. Right, back with gardening questions with Paul after this break. Okay, we've stepped out into the garden with Paul McLaughlin, gardener at Ballacdur Garden Centre. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Greg.
How you keep?
Not so bad at all.
You have amazing spuds, I have to say. The roosters went down a treat. I think Shannon divvied out the queens.
Very good, very good.
Roosters very nice mashed.
Yes, I know. You never have a bother finding a home for them usually.
Oh, quality spuds, I have to say. This week of weather here, does it matter? I mean, it's lovely, it's nice, but in terms of gardening, gardens, what we're doing, what we're not doing, does it matter?
Oh, I suppose it does matter in the sense it's given people an opportunity to get out and about in the garden. Yeah. Actually, you can, because I was chatting to a lady last night, says she spent yesterday afternoon sitting out there, so it's
wonderful.
nice to get
from that,
so
side it of it. Okay, does it prolong the life of our flowers at all?
Yes, it would do, or it would always help, I suppose. Just it's important. People kind of, at this stage, the summer flowers have got out of the habit of watering them. So maybe if it does stay dry this week, maybe throw a wee bit extra on them. Yeah. You might get another week or two out of them.
But we saw grass frost last week, and you can see as much as we try and resist, you can't slow time. And we are seeing sort of those signs of autumn, aren't we? A little bit colder during the day, certainly much colder at night, even unseasonably cold. I'm starting to see some leaves on the road.
Yes, funny, this week you can really see a change in the leaves. So the autumn colour is starting to come in there, like the real reds and yellows are starting to come out, you know. So they are, so definitely it's time is marching on.
It is indeed. Tidying up the garden, obviously, you know, I think if you do it as you go, it's always going to be an easier job, isn't it? If you're lucky enough to have a garden.
Absolutely. And to be honest, if you use like this week of good weather as an opportunity, maybe to get any of the big jobs out of the way, it's always a lot more pleasant doing them in this kind of weather compared to going out and fighting against a rainy day or something.
Yeah, for sure. So you've pretty much got to Sunday at least to see how you can get on out there. Now, as you say, time marches on, but that means that things come around and spring's going to come around. And some of the stuff we can be doing right now is planting spring bulbs. What kind of bulbs? How do we do it?
Yes, spring bulbs. Spring bulbs are very beneficial for the garden in the sense they're a great place to start out if you're starting gardening because they're pretty much guaranteed to grow almost. Very easy to work with, even if you're working with kids. They're
good
size.
How deep do you stick them in?
Generally, bulbs come in all sort of different sizes. Generally, as a rule of thumb, you go twice the depth of the bulb itself. So just picture the bulb and sort of you go like three times down, kind of, if you know what I mean.
So you plant them now, right? And then what happens is before you know it, you might have forgotten you've even planted. You start getting this explosion of colour then.
Exactly, It's a great wee mood lifter for the springtime there. So it is, maybe you have that explosion of colour whenever everything else has been sort of drab for the last few months.
But what options are there? I mean, don't get me wrong, I love daffodils, right? And you see the lovely houses with the line of daffodils come up and you know, hey, things are starting to improve. But we can mix it up a bit, can't we?
Absolutely. The last few years, the bulbs really come on. Bulbs have been about for like hundreds of years, but it was traditionally, especially in Ireland, was always based on your daffodils, tulips, and to an extent your snowdrops of that. But there really is a lot more varieties of each of them coming in, and there are a lot more varieties of other stuff.
So what kind of plants are we talking?
I suppose for early colour, like the hyacinths there, crocuses are becoming very popular at the minute because they're out quite early. If you notice actually the town of Buncrana, if you're ever through that time of year, they've planted a lot of crocuses within the grassland and it's just very impressive looking.
This beautiful bit of colour to welcome in the next year, really, it feels like sometimes. And in terms of spacing,
generally, once again, same as you go twice the depth, you go two bulbs apart, if you know what I mean, like leave a gap of two bulbs. Depends on the effect you're going for. Some people like to plant them sort of in regimented lines, almost up the side of the drive, whereas other people go for a more naturalized look, if you know what I mean.
But other than planting them, there's not much else you have to do to them. I mean, that's just it. You just wait for them to sprout.
Pretty much wait for them to sprout. And the main key for them is, if you want it long term, is to actually let them die back naturally.
Yes.
People are very tempted to cut the lawn in the springtime after they're finished. But if you let them die back naturally, there is no real work to
do. There's a process there too. You're doing the process of them dying them back is food for the next year.
Exactly.
All the
sunlight they've harnessed. Good days back into them, and then that provides next year.
All right, blackberries, good time now to see them out and about.
Yes, absolutely. Funny, I was out yesterday, and actually, the amount of blackberries in the hedges they're an amazing amount of them there at the minute. Once again, sort of, I suppose, brings people back to their childhood. A lot of people would have went picking blackberries and stuff. Generally, just if you are picking them, obviously wear gloves because they're in briars, and sort of stay away from anywhere like roadsides, that's where they might have been chemical sprayed or anything like that. But there's sort of a free harvest out there at the minute, so they're definitely worth getting into.
And there's, I don't know, is it tradition or do we stick to it? Because there's a time after which you're not really supposed to pick and eat them.
Yes, pretty much September seems to be the main sort of harvesting time for blackberries. It was traditionally said that it was after St. Michael's Day, which is the 29th of September. I could be wrong about that. But they reckon that the Pooka went about, which is a sort of a malevolent spirit, he went about and he spat on them and made them unpalatable, shall we say. But it's probably just people using sort of folklore to sort of make sense of things back in the day, maybe, because like after the end of September, generally they're going off.
You scare people off them.
Yeah.
Are you making any jam this year?
Jam, I made blackcurrant jam earlier on the year. So now for me, it's once again, the divorce nearly happened on Sunday there. I pickled all my beetroot, so it doesn't the whole kitchen ended up purple. but we got there.
Well, if you survived that, you're in good shape. Rowan Trees, aka Mountain Ash.
Yes, funny, this year has been amazing. If you see them, if you're driving about, it's hard to miss them at the minute. They're absolutely clattered in berries. So they are the...
I have a Google of them here.
Yeah, but huge amount of berries this year, more so than the last few years. A lot of people would sort of...
Are they planted or are they naturally
No, most of them are natural.
Right, okay, they're gorgeous.
So they would be. Lovely tree. You can actually buy them. You can actually buy in garden centers, you can buy different varieties.
Would you
of
eat
them.
Those wee berries? They don't look very... They look like they're nasty.
Yes, no, you wouldn't eat them particularly.
But they're beautiful to look at, okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay, let's get to some questions. There's all the bits and bobs we could talk about, but I want to make sure to get through the texts that have come in. When is the best time to plant hydrangeas and rhubarb from a pot?
Yes, once a plant's in a pot, it can be planted any time of the year. So it can... traditional time would be sort of autumn or spring. Generally, you'd never plant over... The ground's frozen or would tend to stay away from midsummer too, where it's too dry. So autumn, spring, either time is perfect.
You know, there's a roses question coming. When's the best time to cut them? We touched on this last week, but you know, not everyone listens every week.
Best time to cut them, generally you're into November. You would give them an initial cut back. Sort of that takes the weight off them for, tidies them up and takes the weight off them for the winter. And then cut them back to within about 3 to 6 inches of where you want to cut them back to. And then give them a final cut back up at St. Patrick's Day.
We often talk about people with apple trees and they're wondering why nothing has come of them. This caller has got 500 apples in their apple tree. What can I do to stop the birds eating them?
Right. Well, first of all, it's an amazing crop.
Congratulations.
So it is, absolutely.
It's a lot of chicken poo.
Yeah, exactly. So more mature trees, like I suppose, would be quite... It would still be a great crop, but it wouldn't be uncommon, shall we say. Scares would be the main thing. Sort of, you see people putting up hanging CDs off the... trees, or even some people put up sort of, you get specially designed kites to fly about the tree, which tends to scare away the birds. Once again, this seems to be effective after a while because the birds are quite smart.
Yeah, they figure it out.
A tree with 500 apples on is probably too big to actually net, if you know what I mean. So sometimes you can just sort of wrap it loosely around with sewing thread. What the birds tend to
be. Really, what you're trying to do is outsmart them, discourage them, but that's a challenge.
Exactly. So now the sewing thread seems to work. People even use over round bales and stuff because the birds are actually, they can see it and they're actually afraid of getting caught up in it.
Yeah.
So they tend to stay away from us.
Why do strawberries grow split and in irregular shapes with little nodules on them?
Yes, strawberry splitting, that generally tends to be, it's a irregularity in terms of watering sometimes, or even irregularity in terms of heat. If you get a coldish evening and then a very warm day, especially if they're in a polytunnel or something, they tend to grow very fast, and that it tends to split the fruit. Sometimes if you let them dry out too much, then give them water, they really jump on. So if you can sort of maintain the level of watering sort of fairly consistently, like pick a time like every evening or whatever, just keep on like that there. And if you keep them well fed too, they tend to stave off stuff like that a wee bit better.
My son bought a house with a very unkept lawn. What's the best way to revive it without digging it out? Should he put weed killer on it and re-sow it next year? What would work? Now, if it was an established lawn, I think they can get really good results here with, you know, strimming initially, raking that, you know, cutting it down a bit. I don't know what you think. You're the expert here.
Yes.
Depends how bad it is, I suppose.
Oh, well, to an extent, it would depend how bad it is, all right, but I would say the weed killer definitely would be the last resort, shall we say. I would give it a good strim now, like you say, remove all the stuff off it, and there's still a wee bit of growth in the garden sort of between now and Halloween. So maybe give it a raking off, let it recover a wee bit, cut it with a lawnmower, and then sort of evaluate it. But even with a machine like a scarifier, you could actually take the worst of the unwanted stuff out of it.
But DIY, a lot of that's kind of DIY stuff too,
very much
if you're able. And we have some great places that rent this stuff out as well.
Yes, absolutely. No, so definitely, like I say, the weed killer would be the last resort. I would try and sort of bring it around naturally first and then see what you're dealing with. As always, sort of, if you're in any doubt, bring a few pictures into your local garden centre and they should be able to advise.
When's the best time to plant rhododendrons?
Rhododendrons, similar to the hydrangea there, would be, if it's in a pot, you can plant any time of the year. But ideally, spring or autumn.
I have dahlias, a lot of foliage on them, but not many blossoms. Is there anything that would help them? I'll put the Grocer on them.
Yes. Depending on when you put the Grocer on them or that, I would tend to go with Miracle-Gro at the minute because it's a sort of sharp burst of energy and generally it works over the course of about sort of 7 to 10 days. So we shot a Miracle-Gro now and that should hopefully bring them on.
How do you plant rhubarb? You have rhubarb, don't you?
Yes, we do.
You're a fan of rhubarb. When's the best time to plant it, and where do you actually get the source material to plant?
Yes, most garden centres would carry it. We would have it down there. Generally, rhubarb comes from what's known as a crown, which is like a sort of big lump of root, basically. But garden centres would sell it in pots. And once again, autumn time would be a good enough time to plant it, or even in the spring. And whenever you do plant it, feed it well with your chicken poo, even if you had another mature or anything like that there, because they're a very hungry plant.
Yeah.
So if you want a good crop, you have to put in that material.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. If I cut back Leilandi trees, will they die, or would it be better to remove them completely?
Cutting back Leilandi always nearly comes in every week as well, so yep. It does. Generally, if you can cut them back as much as you can, but you still have to leave the green sort of outer shell on it. If you cut back into the brown wood, it's never going to green up again. So they might as well be dead at that stage almost. But so trim it back where you're still seeing green, and maybe it might do a wee bit more next year.
I'm not sure about the timing on this one. This might have come in the last time, or if it might be new, I'm not sure. I imagine most spuds would be out now at this stage or not have blight. But anyway, I'll ask you and you can let us know. We've spuds that have blight. Can we dig them out? Are they too fresh to put into storage? Will they rot?
I suppose, once again, that comes down to what sort of spuds they are almost. If they're early spuds, they probably won't last, in the sense normally early spuds only last about a week whenever they're dug out of the ground. Main crop potatoes would stand a better chance of lasting, but generally it's into October before they reliably last through the winter. So the best thing I'd do at the minute would be remove the tops off them and sort of inspect them regularly and sort of leave them in the ground as long as they're not showing any signs of damage.
Right, some of the other advice you have here, what we should be doing maintenance, is a bit wintery. And I don't feel the buzz here. I'm feeling summery.
Yes,
so we'll hold that off maybe to the next time.
How's that? Perfect.
I mean, one here is raise your pots to stop them getting water. Yes, exactly. I don't feel like talking about that this week, Paul.
Perfect. We'll leave that for another week.
Okay, listen, Paul, thanks so very much indeed, as always.
Well,
it's lovely
thank
to
you.
Have you in. That's Paul. Paul McLaughlin, gardener at Ballacter Garden Centre, which is just down the road from us here at Letterkenny. Paul and his colleagues would love to see you call in, and I know Paul would agree that all of our brilliant garden centres around the region, they're all more than happy to help if you've any inquiries. Paul will be back, I think, maybe one more time before the end of the season. That'll be in a couple of weeks, but for now, we'll be back after this break. The weather here is glorious. The sun is splitting the rocks. It's 19 to 21 degrees. There's no wind. It is absolutely heaven. The only thing we don't have is a pool to sit around and drink cocktails and other things at. But they have that in Slough. David James is in Slough. David, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Greg, we have about 10 degrees to spare. If we could send back maybe 4 or 5, how would that help?
It would do Greg, fantastic. What is the crack like over there, David? I've seen some of the videos and everyone is just having a fantastic time.
Oh, Greg, we are having an absolute ball. We're on day 3 or 4. Every day feels like a Saturday here at the moment. We're having an unbelievable time. The sun is splitting the rocks. And already we have some people booked on for next year. Would you believe it?
I would. And this phrase, it's five o'clock somewhere, I'm sure is very relevant over there.
Well, I seen somebody yesterday with a full fry and a pina colada. So that sort of speaks for itself.
So, user, going live with Jive Time live from Slough. I can already hear there's a fantastic atmosphere and everyone's enjoying themselves. Talk to me about the show.
Oh, I don't know if we're going to get these people home at all. Yes, Greg, we're having a great time. The Jive Time is going to be coming live today from 2:30, 3:30 Spanish time, but 2:30 Irish time as usual. We're going to have some guest singers. We're going to have Claudia Buckley on the show. We're going to have Matt Levy on the show, John McNichol, Olivia Douglas, and lots, lots more. And we're very much looking forward to it. We're going to have live music by the poolside. I think it's the first time that Highland Radio have ever done an outside broadcast in a foreign country by the poolside. So we're very much looking forward to it.
All right, one big last cheer before we say goodbye. Hello, everyone.
Greg.
Yes, sir.
Just before
yes, sir.
We let you go, I really don't think we can come back here next year without Mr. Hughes. What do you think?
I'm actually going to go and buy my shorts. I'll see you next year. See you soon, David. Take care of yourself. All right, thanks very much for that. David James live from 2:30. Now, Dr. Kevin Lally is a consultant specialist, addiction psychiatrist, and a member of the College of Psychiatrists in Ireland. He joins me on the programme now. Dr. Lally, thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thanks, Greg.
Right, now, reading today, and unfortunately we've come across this with features we've done on the programme before, HCC drug is there and it's out there and it's use. And it feels very much like the head shop story 10 years on. How concerned are our medics and how concerned should we be about this?
Yeah, we're very concerned in the College of Psychiatrists about this because this new product, this synthetic or man-made version of cannabinoids, is actually very risky for people's mental health. And people may not know that because it's currently available in shops and online in Ireland without any controlled substance legislation.
How can that be?
So in 2010, the Novel Psychoactive Act banned lots and lots of substances and banned them by class so that you couldn't just market a new version by making some change to the chemistry. And that thankfully wiped out huge amount of illicit substance misuse that was really, really bad for people's mental health and physical health on occasion. And that was really successful. But now what's happened is that there's a new loophole that's opened, that there's a cannabis product called CBD, which is actually not controlled and it's legal to purchase. You'll find it in the vape shops. And what people have done is that they've chemically modified the legal version of cannabis CBD into this new version of HHC, which mimics the effects of the final three-letter acronym THC, which is the real risky banned substance in cannabis in Ireland. So what they've done is they've modified the legal version, and therefore they found a loophole in the legislation.
Is it a case, do you think, you know, say for instance like restricted dog breeds, the legislation is there, the government can add a dog to that breed. Is that the same with these types of products, that the list is there that you referenced and they could add HHC to it if the will was there?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. A simple short-term fix would be to add HHC to the list of banned substances. But I think they probably have to go a step further to anticipate any other versions of HHC, which may be chemically distinct, and probably ban it by class and ban it in a kind of a more broadly sense.
What implications are we seeing? What effect is this having on people?
So it definitely affects people's mental health for the worse. In some cases, it's just making people more anxious or agitated or a little even confused. And at the extreme, you're dealing with psychosis, delusions, people thinking things are true that aren't true, getting very angry at their family and friends for no reason, behaving in really erratic and strange ways. And what's really concerning is that people who may have been actually tolerant of regular cannabis are using this in a vape form and having these new, unusual psychotic events. And what's doubly concerning for us is that children, adolescents, young people are assuming that because it's available in a shop that you can buy it online or in a bricks and mortar store, that it must be okay for your health. It must be fine.
Nothing wrong with it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now I'm not saying that's the case, but that would be the perception because there's a lack of knowledge there. And the reason I mentioned it earlier and was keen to speak to you today is because it's very possible it's old us for the most part, right? You're not going to smell it on someone's breath. My point is there could be families and parents out there that are noticing changes in people's behaviour and wondering what's happened to Greg? Why is Greg acting differently? And not to alarm, but we need to be aware that could it be something like this? Because it does feel very much like Groundhog Day with the head shops.
Yeah, exactly. So if there's any parents out there listening of young people and they're worried that they may be doing something new and unusual, their behaviour has changed. We obviously, you know, understand that in teenagerdom there's lots of changes in behaviour. But if there's something kind of fairly recent or something that's happened on a very short period of time, people are acting differently, strangely, and come from being erratic to all the way towards being just keeping to themselves much more than often, check in with them. And then there's loads of drug and alcohol services available in the HSC and with partners. Check the website www.drugs.ie. Contact your GP for advice on HSC addiction services. If you have a concern, it's one of your family member or children are using substances, and for any children or adolescents or anybody using HSC themselves, if they're listening, if you feel that you can't give up and you're not able to have a period of absence, you know, can't take a week off, a month off, that probably is a sign that the substance has control of you rather than you have control of the substance.
We have to be really careful because it's not a big step from vaping, and so many of our young people are vaping. All right, Doctor, thanks for helping us, for getting the message out. I really do appreciate it, and have a lovely day.
No problem. Thank you.
Dr. Kevin Lally there. Right. Our competition winner today is Sheila Harkin. She correctly answered the question, which was carpet. She is in Buncrana and doesn't have too far to go to spend her €200 voucher and indeed might be buying some lovely carpet from Breeden's House to Homebridge End and Maville. Right. We will have another €200 to give away tomorrow and all the usual features and conversation. Stay tuned because we have Michaela Clark coming up around the Northwest after we take this break.